Now each man dies as he was meant to die, and as he was born, and as he lived, alone, all alone, without any God, without any hope, without any record to show for his life. Sounds like the musings of an existential philosopher, doesn't it? But it's not. It's an excerpt from a short story called New York Blues by the suspense fiction writer Cornell Woolrich. That story is from a new anthology called Night and Fear, a centenary collection of stories by Cornell Woolrich. The collection is edited by Woolrich authority Francis M. Nevins. Nevins also wrote the introduction to the collection. He says Cornell Woolrich developed a sense of doom at a very early age.
The experience, he says, happened one night when I was 11, and I guess that would have been 1915 then, and huddling over my own knees, looked up at the low-hanging stars of the Valley of Anahuac and knew I would surely die finally, or something worse. And he says that was the beginning of the sense of personal, private doom that had been with him since that night. And he says this, and I love this sentence. It's so perfect for Woolrich. I had that trapped feeling, like some sort of a poor insect that you've put inside a downturned glass, and it tries to climb up the sides, and it can't, and it can't, and it can't. That is how, writing a few years before his death in this autobiographical manuscript, he verbalized the experience at that early age. And that's the perfect description of our situation in the world as Woolrich sees it. And, of course, it is akin to some of the existentialist fiction writers.
Cornell Woolrich originally started writing mainstream fiction in the 1920s. He was influenced by F. Scott Fitzgerald. What caused him to turn his attention to suspense fiction?
Well, the Depression came, and the market for that kind of fiction he was writing pretty much collapsed overnight. And for a couple of years, he wasn't able to sell anything of any sort. And it was in pure desperation, I think, that he looked around for something else to do. And he began to write crime and suspense fiction for the pulp magazines and began to sell and make decent money writing these things at white heat and selling them in huge numbers. His first suspense story was published in the middle of 1934, and five and a half years later, he had written 200 of them.
Now, are these early stories, these suspense stories that he used to make money from the pulps, basically, are they recognizably Woolrich?
Oh, yes, absolutely. At least the best of them. I mean, there's a lot of unredeemable junk which has never been reprinted for 65, 70 years now. But there are also many, many incredibly moving, dark, suspenseful stories. Everything that we know of from Woolrich's major novels, we find also in his major shorter fiction of the 30s.
What kind of story? Do you have an example?
During his years where he made most of his money writing for pulp magazines, some of these tales are quite long, too. They're not just a few thousand words. One aspect of his genius was, you know, he had this very dark, pessimistic view of life. And his genius was to create situations in his stories that fit perfectly with that dark outlook. I talk, for example, about various kinds of stories. One I call the noir cop story. This is a detective story where you have a police detective solving a murder or some other crime, but we find ourselves far less interested in the plot than we do on the pure sadistic police procedure, beating people, torturing people, all sorts of things like that, that is just routinely accepted in the story, even by the victims. Then there's the pure Woolrich story, and this is what one of the things that allies Woolrich with Hitchcock. I've called Woolrich the Hitchcock of the written word. He wrote a number of stories that are what I call clock races. You have the protagonist that is racing the clock. Perhaps the best story he ever wrote, 3 o'clock, was like that. It's about a man who is bound and gagged in a basement. He can't move, he can't speak, and a time bomb that he had set himself to kill his wife, who he wrongly thought was cheating on him, is ticking away, and we are forced to be in his shoes during the last hours of his life as that clock ticks closer and closer to three when he will be blown up.
Wow.
There's another story he wrote called Guillotine, which is about a Frenchman who is to be guillotined, and his girlfriend manages to poison the executioner with slow-acting poison in the hope that he will die before he can fit the blade on the guillotine and thereby invoke what I think Woolrich invented, a French tradition that when the headsman dies, the next person to be beheaded is pardoned. But the suspense, the cross-cutting between this dying, grotesque executioner desperately trying to do his job, to get to his job and kill this guy, and this other guy who just doesn't know if his girlfriend has been successful or what. I mean, that's pure Woolrich.
Where did all this come from, this fascination, really, with horror?
It came from him, from his spirit, from his guts. Another type of story Woolrich wrote several variations on, I call the waking nightmare story. Here we follow a guy who comes to after a blackout. It might have been caused by amnesia, maybe drugs, maybe hypnosis. And then he finds objective fragments from that nightmare all over him. And he becomes convinced, little by little, that while out of himself, he did something awful, usually a murder. Then there are stories where we are made to follow the last hours of some hunted person as he runs across the dark night city, the film noir kind of city, and almost always to his doom. Then there are stories about a guy, you know, a lonely man just like Woolrich, who miraculously has found the right woman, and suddenly she vanishes. And not only can't he find her, he can't convince anyone she ever existed. These are typical storylines that Woolrich pretty much originated. You don't find predecessors to this kind of storyline in earlier writers for pulp crime and detective magazines. And collectively, and there are many more also, they sort of shape our image of Woolrich. Yeah. And this was before he had written a single suspense novel. That's why I say it's there in his pulp, especially the longer stories and short novels that predate his first overt suspense novel, which was The Bride Wore Black in 1940.
Speaking of suspense, he wrote a whole series of novels that have black in the title, and several of them were adapted for radio for the suspense series, weren't they?
Yeah, they were also adapted for movies and later for television. Woolrich made very, very good money out of the media once he became known outside the pulp magazines like Black Mask and Detective Fiction Weekly and Dime Detective. Once he began doing novels, the movies began to buy his novels, radio began to buy rights to his shorter fiction, and when radio was supplanted by television in the 50s, television began to buy rights to his shorter fiction, and Woolrich made quite a bit of money between all of that plus his royalties. I have seen his financial records, and in the late 40s, for example, he was making $50,000 a year.
A lot of money for those days.
Yeah, mainly from the media. Yeah. Movies, radio, and as the 50s came on, television, when you could live very comfortably on five or six.
One of the stories from those days I remember is The Black Curtain.
Yeah, that's his second suspense novel. That's the amnesia story.
How closely did they keep to his story when they adapted it for radio? It had Cary Grant in it, didn't it?
Yes. Actually, we have reason to believe that Woolrich wrote the radio version. I have a tape, and I'm sure you've heard it on tape, too. There is no radio adapter credited. My friend Bill Nadell has seen a copy of the script in the archives, and he said there the author of the radio version is listed as George Corey. And there is no such person as George Corey, and Cornell, one of his middle names, was George. It is so perfectly in tune with Woolrich's spirit that you listen to it, and you can hardly believe that someone other than Woolrich could have gotten that deeply into the Woolrich view of life. And so I remain convinced Woolrich did write that particular script.
Francis M. Nevins, the editor of Night and Fear, a centenary collection of stories by Cornell Woolrich.